Let's thank Jonathan B. for sharing. At this time, I would like to introduce our second speaker, Antoinette B. from the Rappahannock area.
Yo, family. I'm going to kick my shoes off and make myself at home. My name is Antoinette B., and I'm definitely an addict. I'm from the Rappahannock area. That's new. I'm in Spotsylvania, Virginia. I don't even know how I even end up there. But anyway, it's a power greater than me that's working. People who know, I've had 4 surgeries on my voice. So I'm just going to just do the best I can with my voice. But I want to just talk about it. I really couldn't understand why you would get somebody. Like, I got clean January 25th, 1982. So I got over 30 years clean. Yeah. And I got over 30 years clean off of 1 key tag. But what I was going to say, I could understand why you get somebody to talk about recovery and relapse, you know, who never relapsed, you know. And I'm talking about relapse on the drugs. But I remember when I was a little bitty baby and I was playing with my doll baby outside. I never said when I grow up I want to be a junkie. And the reason why I say at 5 years old that I was the addict who never used, because I felt the hopelessness, the desperation, and the despair. When my mother told me at the age of 6 that I'm going to share my experience, grief, and hope, I can't be the spokesman for Narcotics Anonymous. But the only thing I have to share is my experience, my strength, and my hope. And the reason why I say at 5 years old that I was the addict who never used, because I had the hopelessness, I had the desperation, I had the despair. I remember being depressed my whole entire life. But I think that a power greater than me had a plan. Because everything that I went through my life, the molestations, the manipulation, the beatings, I still got marks on my back where I was beaten until I was unconscious. And what those things did was they taught me how to hate myself. And that's why I did the things that I did to myself. People who love themselves don't do to themselves what I did to myself. People who love themselves ain't got no spike in their neck. They ain't snorting no cocaine till their nose bleed. And they just keep on snorting. People who love themselves don't spread their legs to anything, acting like they're a sperm bank or a cum bucket. Now, I can't talk about you. I'm talking about me. But when I was able, by the grace of a loving and a caring God, to find the rooms of recovery, I had to come in here, and guess what? If I had to do it, you had to do it too. I had to come up in here and say, as we admitted that we were powerless over addiction. That means void of all strength. And I was powerless. And y'all told me that all I had to do was admit. And when I admit that I was powerless, y'all had a power that was greater than me that could help me over the obsession, the compulsion, and the total self-centeredness. And I kept coming until I came to. Because when I got here, I was spiritually unconscious. I was spiritually knocked out. And when I got clean, y'all didn't have a basic tax. We were passing the manuscript around, checking out a few pages and bringing it back. Now we got so much literature. We got the basic tax. We got the green and gold. We got the flat book. Only program I know got 3 written programs. I'm serious. I work all three of them. Because it ain't no right, it ain't no wrong way to work it. Just work it. So I had to make a decision that I was going to start doing God's will. And what I was doing when I came into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, and maybe you can't identify with it, but I was looking for love in all the wrong places. I was turning my will and I was turning my life over to a power that was greater than me, but it wasn't loving and it wasn't caring. And that's who my higher power was. It was a man. That's why I was using that dope. That was the pain that I was trying to escape. But I didn't know as I was using the dope, I wasn't just killing the pain. I was killing all my other feelings. And then after I had to make a decision that I was going to do God's will. I was going to do something different because if I kept on doing what I was doing, I was going to keep on getting what I was getting. And y'all told me I had to come in here and I had to take a fearless and mortal inventory of myself. And I had to do that because the inventory that my mother gave me at age 6, she told me, "You're just like your no good daddy." She said, "You ain't nothing and you never will be nothing." Maybe nobody didn't tell y'all that, but that's what they told me. And I had to come in here and get a loving, caring God and look at myself through the eyes of a loving and a caring God. And y'all told me that I had to start talking about those secrets. I had to admit the nature of the wrong. When I first came in here, I was talking, I had a whole list of everything that I had done wrong. I never saw the word nature until I had about 15 years clean. I said, "When did they put that in there?" And I found out that the nature of the wrong, why I was doing what I was doing, okay? That the nature of the wrong was the twin forces of fear. Fear of pain. And I had fear that I wasn't going to get some pleasure. And maybe you can't identify with that. But I had to come in here. I had to talk about the secrets. My mother used to tell us what happened in our house stays in our house. And maybe your mama never told you that. But that's what my mama told me. We didn't talk about what my daddy did at night when the lights were out. We didn't talk about the cries in the night. We didn't talk about that. But I had to come in here, and just like the disease is PMS, it's physical, mental, and spiritual. Recovery's got to be PMS too. Physical, mental, and spiritual. The spiritual part was God. That's right. The mental part, that was me. And the physical part was another human being. So it had to be God. It had to be myself. Because I had told myself the lies too. That's the only way I was able to make it, because if I had known the truth, it would have killed me. So I had to admit the exact nature of the wrongs to God, to me, and to another human being, another human caught up in the process. And then I had to start taking responsibility, because it says through our inability to accept personal responsibility, we were creating our own problems. Nobody was doing it to me. I was doing it to myself. We were creating our own problems. So in step 6, I had to start taking responsibility for my behavior. I couldn't be in here like Flip Wilson talking about the devil made me do it. And I know y'all don't do that. The disease this and the disease that and the disease this and the disease that and the disease this. When Flip Wilson said the disease made me do it, we laughed. You know, but I had to come up in here and start taking responsibility for my behavior. And guess what? I had to start taking responsibility for my responsibilities that started coming up short. Like it's my responsibility to pay my bills. My responsibility. My happiness, that's my responsibility. I'm looking for some man to make me happy. How he gonna make me happy when he ain't happy himself? That's why I told y'all I was looking for love in all the wrong places. That's why I told y'all, didn't I tell y'all that? So in step 8 and step 9, a lot of times we want to come up in here and we want to be on relationships on step 1. I know y'all didn't do that, but I did that. Hello? We don't mention relationships to step 4 and step 5. We don't get into the recovery. We don't get into relationships looking, making the list, you know, step 8, step 9. But in those two steps, I had to start taking responsibility for how I was treating people. It wasn't about how people was treating me. I had to look at what I was doing. Because you know something's wrong when I keep looking in the mirror and I keep seeing you. But that's what I was doing, okay? But then y'all told me that inventory that I started in step 4. Y'all told me I had to continue. I had to continue that inventory. And y'all told me when I was wrong, guess what? I had to promptly admit it. In step 1, I got my foundation steps. Step 1, 2, 3. Honesty, open minds, and willingness. We know we got other programs that give each step about 5 or 6 principles. But we used to have how? H-O-W. Honesty, open mindedness, and willingness. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. Okay, how you have a relationship? Honesty, open mindedness, and willingness. How do you get along with people on your job? Honesty, open mindedness, and willingness. So we got the how. We got the 3 tools that we needed to work the other steps. So then I had to continue to take inventory, and they're talking about improving my conscious contact with God as I understood him. You know, so I was going to step 11. I was getting the power that I needed. And then they said as a result of all those steps, as a result of all those steps, I had a spiritual awakening with each step. That's what y'all told me. And I began to carry a message. I remember when I was on step 1, I was a 2-stepper. I was doing step 1 and step 2. But guess what? Something began to happen when I got to step 12. When I got to step 12, I stopped carrying the message and I started carrying the mess. I stopped living spiritual principles. And I started living life according to Antoinette. And what was happening was I started to back on back into a corner that I couldn't come out of clean. So I went from practicing spiritual principles in all my affairs to doing slippery and slimy stuff. And it was a secret because I didn't tell you about it. And then, instead of me going to step 11 and trying to pray, I didn't need to ask God for no information because I had it. I got it, God. And maybe none of y'all don't use God like I use God. I had stopped using him for a 411 God. I had stopped using him, going to him to get some information. I just was 911. I'm at my butt's on fire. I need some help right now. You can't help me. This is Antoinette. You know, I know you ain't heard from me in a long time. Because I'm not using that step 11. Y'all talked about that prayer and meditation. I need some help. And as I was backing on back into a corner that I couldn't come out of clean, I started taking your inventory. And when you were wrong, guess what? I promptly admitted it. That's right. I was talking about you just like I didn't even have no past. And maybe you can't identify with that. But I was backing on back into a corner I couldn't come out of clean. They talked about making a list of people who had harmed me. No, they didn't say who had harmed me, but that was the list I was making. I was making a list of people who had harmed me. And I wasn't thinking about making amends. I was thinking about getting revenge. And I'm talking about in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. So I was making a list who would harm me and how I could get revenge and get into unforgiveness, and I know y'all can't identify with that. And as far as making a list of who I'd harmed, I was making a list of who harmed me, and I was not going to take responsibilities for my responsibilities. And I know you can't identify with that, but I started playing the blame game. I became a victim. Everybody was doing something to me. And I couldn't see myself anymore. I was losing my individuality. I found me another human being that we could get connected at the hip with. And I know y'all don't know, looking for somebody who can be you. Because I had a man could live his life and my life too. That's like driving down 95 with your hands on somebody else's steering wheel, driving somebody else's car. And I stopped taking responsibility for my responsibilities. And they talking about defects becoming entirely ready to have God. I ain't got no defects. All of a sudden, I ain't had no defects. You know, I was backing on back. I'm serious. I was backing on back into a corner that I couldn't come out of clean. That's right. And talking about taking responsibility for my behavior, I was taking responsibility for everybody else's behavior but mine. I had to list, okay, this is what, Terrence, this is what I want you to do. Okay, gang, you gonna do this over here. I know y'all never did that. But I started taking responsibility for everybody else's behavior. And then when you didn't do what I wanted you to do, how can you treat me like this? I thought you loved me. I know y'all ain't never did that. But it's talking about, we had to admit, you know, to God, ourselves, and another human being. Yes, I was on my knees. I was praying to God, yes, about you. That's right. I was admitting to God the exact nature of your wrongs. And praying that God would let you just see yourself. I know y'all never did that. And then, of course, you know that I continued to take that inventory, and it wasn't a person, no inventory, it was a person inventory. Every person that was in my life, I began to take their inventory. And it was fearless. And it was moral, because I got real self-righteous. I knew what everybody should do. I know y'all don't know nothing about that. But I was backing on back. I was backing on back. I was backing on back into a corner that I could not come out of clean. And they said Narcotics Anonymous, they said we don't give advice. I was doing that too, that's right. That's right. That's right, I was giving advice. I knew what everybody on this planet should do. And then got mad when you didn't do it. How could you treat me like this? And like I told you, I became the victim more and more and more. I became the victim more and more and more. And if anybody's identifying with me, it may be a sign that you might be in relapse mode. I don't want to step on nobody's toes. I'm just talking about me. I'm keeping it real. Keeping it real, real. But I started making the decision, like I said, telling everybody else what to do. And it wasn't going to be about doing God's will. It was going to be about doing Antoinette's will. That's right. I wanted you to do what I wanted you to do. I wanted what I wanted, and I wanted it now. In fact, I wanted it yesterday. And they talk about step two. Oh, my. A spiritual awakening. I was so sick and so diseased. That's why I was in so much pain. Because pain is what tells us that something is wrong. You know, I get a toothache and I want to take an aspirin. I don't want to go to no dentist. And I took the aspirin, took the aspirin, took the aspirin, until the aspirin stopped working. And then when I went to the doctor, all he could do was pull a tooth. But if I had a went earlier, he could have filled the tooth. Yeah, he could have saved it. But I was doing Narcotics Anonymous. Guess what? According to Antoinette's way, I was doing AA, Antoinette Anonymous. That's right. That's right. I was cross fellowships. AA, Antoinette Anonymous. Hello. And so what happened was, guess what? I wasn't powerless anymore. You know, they say we're powerless over addiction, over obsession, over compulsion, and over total self-centeredness. I wasn't powerless over anything, honey, let me tell you. I went on this cruise, and we had this young man from New York. The thing about the cruise, they got friends of Bill W. And the thing was so cool about it was, hey, Brett. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Okay. The thing about it was, we had friends of Bill W. So any 12-step fellowship person was welcome. So we had people from NA, from AA. We had people from Gamblers Anonymous, Sex Anonymous. And we had some people who didn't even have no anonymous that was up in there. They had just a bunch of letters behind their name. You know, you get APD, PSTT, BS, you know, something. People who had the things that there ain't no green or blue pill for it, okay? But anyway, this guy stood up when we were giving out the 30-day tags. And he said, I should be picking up 21 years clean today. He said, but today I'm picking up 30 days. You could imagine the look on everybody's face when he said that. And we wanted him to say something else. And he just said that, and he was headed for his seat. And you know, they had the meeting in the bar. I don't know why they have friends of Bill W. meetings in a bar, but anyway, that's another story. I ain't gonna go there. But he was going back to a seat, and we almost unanimously said, what happened? And what he said was, it was so profound, it was so deep. He said, I got too many years, but not enough days. That's what he said. And I'm like, could you expound a little? He sat down, he didn't say not another word. And the whole rest of the cruise, I'm thinking about, okay, too many years, okay. Okay, 30 years, okay, too many years, okay. Not enough days. I had forgotten that Narcotics Anonymous is a one day at a time program. One day at a time. But I'm talking not just one day at a time, but just for the day.
Come on.
And that's what y'all told me when I first came. Y'all told me, answer that, you can use tomorrow. I'm like, I can? They said, yeah, you can use tomorrow. And I sit up there, oh boy, I can use tomorrow. I'm making it through the day. I can do this standing on my head up, you know. Then I said, wait a minute, let me call this addict and just see. And I call. I said, before I used, y'all said I couldn't use today, I could use tomorrow. I said, so I could use there. They said, no, today is the day. Here's the next day. They tell me it's the day. You can't use today. I'm like, now, what kind of mind games y'all playing on me? Because every day I wake up is today.
Yeah, that's right.
And y'all said, just don't use today.
That's right.
And one thing y'all told me that blew my mind, I just didn't even get it. But y'all said, if you don't pick up, you can't get high.
Right.
That went over my head. I just didn't get it. That's right. Y'all told me if I did not pick up, I could not get high. And what else y'all did when I came? Y'all gave me this number list. And y'all told me I had about 20 people on the list, right? And y'all told me, call these people if you think you're going to use, right? You know, call your sponsor before, not after. You know, that's what they told me. And I got on the phone and I was calling all those numbers and they didn't have all this call waiting and all this kind of stuff. But anyway, I was just calling these people. I was calling these people. I didn't get not one person. I got busy signals. I got answer machines. I got everything. I got mad. I said, you just wait till I get to that meeting tonight. I'm going to tell them that this list did not work. And I got in the meeting. I was cussing. Because I used to, when I had like 2 years clean, I would jump across the table like I had a cape on me. But that's another story, okay? But I said, you just wait till I get to that meeting. I'm going to tell them it didn't work. And some little smart, smart old timer says, Antoinette. I'm like, yes. They said, did you use? I'm like, no. They said, then it worked. That's right. That's right. And so I had to admit that I was powerless. And this wasn't the powerlessness of addiction. This was the powerlessness of recovery. When I'm talking about the powerlessness, I'm like Joni Mitchell. I done seen both sides now. Because when I first started coming around, my life was about the disease, the dis-ease of the disease of addiction. But in step one, again, I'm powerless. And I'm going to tell you, my powerlessness today is I don't get in the ring with the disease of addiction. Just like I don't get in the ring with Mike Tyson. I can hear myself saying, don't get in the ring. I mean, you can see it coming. It's just like you see a whole bunch of cows. I'm going to tell you, there's going to be some cow plop somewhere. And you stepping cow plop, it's all over your shoes and everything. It, you know, in the nooks and the crannies. But what the basic text taught me is to avoid the things that cause me pain. And the powerlessness of recovery is that I don't have to fix you, and guess what? You don't have to fix me. Because I was running around here talking about I'm powerless. But then I found out, guess what? You powerless. You don't have no power over me either. Because whoever got your will, that's who got your power. You ain't got no will, you ain't got no power. That's why they say we try willpower and fail. So I had to admit that I was powerless over obsession, compulsion, and total self-centeredness. And when I don't get in the ring with your untreated disease, the disease is not able to hook me in to your disease. It's just like the Matrix. I don't know if you've seen The Matrix, but those agents could get into anybody's body. I don't care where they were. Boom. Here's the agent. And that's how the disease of addiction is. I'm serious. It ain't no joke. But everywhere I go, here's an agent, there's an agent. I'm talking about the disease of addiction. I'm talking about the obsession, the compulsion, and the total self-centeredness. But when I admit I'm powerless and I don't get in the ring with the disease of addiction, then I'm able to arrest this disease one more day. I am one of those addicts who journal every day. I journal every day. I use Greg, IP Living the Program. I doctored up a little bit, but I do journal every day. I call my sponsor 2 or 3 times a week. I go to 3 or 4 meetings a week. Yeah, so I do that. And the reason why I do that is because of my quality of life, because Socrates said that a life that is not worth examining is not even worth living. And I used to know the price of everything and the value of nothing. But what happened is I was spiritually knocked out. I was spiritually unconscious. First it was me, and the me turned to we. And when the me came to we, and y'all told me to keep coming, and I kept coming back, and I kept coming back until I came to. And when I came to, at that point, I came to believe.
That's right.
I don't know, maybe earlier I had passed step two with a minimum of concern, only to find that the other steps would not work. But I got connected to the proper juice. Like all these lights, if you don't have them plugged up to whatever we had, VEPCO, when I was in Hampton, I don't know what kind of coal we got in Amber. You can have everything you got, but if it ain't getting no electricity, honey, I hate to break the news to ya. You ain't gonna get no light. You ain't gonna get no power. That's right. So I got connected to the proper juice. And then as I came to, and I came to believe, then I can make a decision. I can make a conscious decision to do God's will. Mm. You said, well, Antoinette, how you know what God's will is? I know if it ain't loving and it ain't caring, it ain't God.
That's right.
Now I do know that. I do know that. And y'all told me that I had to do that. I had to make a decision that I was going to do God's will. And as I began to do things that are loving and caring and try to treat people the way I want to be treated, I saw my life begin to change. And as I had to go through and take an inventory of myself, and when I was wrong, guess what? I had to promptly admit it. But the process had to start all over again back in step four, where I made the inventory. And step five, I had to admit the nature. And what I found out in Narcotics Anonymous, I found out the nature of the disease is a destructive, violent power. I found out that the nature of my nature is I'm a loving and I'm a caring person. And I found out about the nature of my God. My God is loving and my God is caring and my God is a power greater than I am. And then I had to start taking responsibility for my behavior again. Because you know what the basic text says. Through our inability to accept personal responsibilities, we were creating our own problems. So I couldn't rationalize, I couldn't justify no more. So I started taking responsibility for how I treated you. I started taking responsibility for my responsibilities. All of a sudden, I wasn't a victim no more. When really, the victim role, I was doing the setup. And maybe y'all ain't never did the setup. But, like, I know my husband had been drinking, and so I know if I got in an argument with him, he was going to punch me. So, okay, here he is. He's been drinking. Okay, so I just, and he says, okay, leave me alone. I said, I know if I say one more, I'm going to get punched in the ass. So I say one more, get punched in the ass. He punched me! I would do the setup because I was the victim, and maybe y'all didn't set nothing up. But I stopped doing that. I stopped antagonizing people. I stopped going around trying to pick a fight, breaking big and bad with everybody. And I started making the list of people at home. And what was so great about it, I found out, because I was applying all 12 of the steps of my life every day, I'm not harming anybody. What a concept. We do recover in Narcotics Anonymous. But I wasn't harming people anymore. So I didn't have anybody to put on the list. And so I continued to take the personal inventory. And I began to improve my conscious contact with God as I understood him. And the fact that I don't understand God today, it's all right. I can still use this power long before I understand it. It's just like a light switch. We don't know all this stuff that Thomas Edison knew. But we know we pray, we turn the switch on, something happens. We know we stop praying, we cut the switch off, and it stopped happening. Then a bunch of crap started happening. And they're talking about having had a spiritual awakening. And I wanted to do, I know she kicked me. That was for 10 minutes. I told her to kick me at 10, so I had time to run through the steps. But I wanted to talk about, I found out something this time working the steps. I found out about the 6 and 7 punch. Because I had thought that when it talks about step 6, becoming entirely ready to have God remove our defects of character. And then I was saying with all of them. It didn't say some, said all. I was like, well, how could that be? So how do a 6 and 7 combination? And I already went through all 12 steps, forward, back, and forward again. But I just wanted to tell you what I'm learning now as I'm working through the steps again. because I'm not one of those addicts. I did it 20, 30 years ago, and it's still working. And I'm not going to say anything for the addicts who did, but I'm a greedy addict. I want more of the good life. Still suffering with the disease of more. Okay, but the 6 and 7 is, you know how we tell a newcomer to call your sponsor before you use? How to become entirely ready. Okay, I have this thing about pristine hair conditioner. I'm in the gym and somebody left it in the gym. I said, God, I don't want to steal this. You know, if it's not yours, don't touch it. Don't touch it, you know? So, you know, that's becoming entirely ready. And then step 7, I'm like, God, please help me not to take this. You know, I remember I was at the gym one day, and the men, they was grunting, and they was, and they were smelling, ooh, I'm telling you, they were smelling so good. And I'm in the gym, and I looked across the room, and this guy, he looked across the room, and our eyes, you know, they, you know, connected, you know, and I was breathing hard, you know, I became entirely ready. Woo! I'm like, oh God, please help me. I don't want to do this. I don't want to cheat on my husband. You see, at that moment, I became entirely ready. And then I did step 7, I humbly asked. And I was able to walk out of that gym by myself. Anyway, I know my time is up. I just want to thank you guys so much for giving me the opportunity to come here and give it up. Woo!